You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and a warm welcome along to another edition of the Punt Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. Sam Norris and Dave Kellner in the studio this week, with Derek McGovern on the line as ever to preview another important weekend of Premier League fixtures and a potentially history-making weekend as well. Good morning, gents. How are you, sir?
Good morning. All well here.
I'm okay. I went to one of those all-you-can-eat meat places last night, a place called Fazenda in Leeds, and you know you get that feeling the next morning where you're enjoying it when it's happening and they're bringing meat round on what's seemingly an endless loop. But then the next morning you feel groggy, so I'm in that state at the moment, so I'm hoping you're going to perk me up, Derek.
Well, you might have to get one of Mamadou Sakho's fat-burning drugs then.
Yeah, be suspended from the podcast for 45 days or whatever it is you're getting.
I think he nicked them off Tyson Fury, didn't he?
That was unbelievable, wasn't it, that press conference?
Oh my God, how can he be a world heavyweight champion looking like me? Jesus.
Unbelievable.
How did he get back in the shape to fight a world heavyweight guy? From being a human blob? How did you fight for the title? I can't believe it.
It's like Wayne Rooney, isn't it? He does that. He just puts on so much weight in the summer and then tries to shed it quickly pre-season, and doesn't quite always manage it, Wayne Rooney.
No.
So whether or not Tyson Fury is in tip-top shape for that Klitschko fight, which comes up in a couple of months, remains to be seen, I suppose. But that was unbelievable. He just doesn't care, does he, Fury?
No, definitely not. But it was great for us, though. You know, you see all these boxers in fantastic shape and you think, you know that they're just... and then you see Tyson Fury, he ain't going anywhere near them, is he? Looking like that.
Fantastic.
Brilliant. Speaking of heavyweights then, and teams punching above their weight, we could potentially be seeing this weekend the biggest shock in sports betting history.
Leicester... What? Your nap's not going to come up, is it?
You could be talking about either of us there, Derek, to be honest.
Yes, Leicester, unbelievable. And 5,000-1 and all that, unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't until Monday night that even on Monday I thought Spurs still might rail them in, but now just 3 points away from the title, and to do it at Old Trafford as well, which has been the scene of many a side clinching Premier League victory, not just Manchester United, other sides have done it there as well. Potentially a massive weekend for Leicester.
Yeah, it could be absolutely huge, couldn't it? I think we'll get onto that game in a little bit, but they've got every possibility of winning the title at Old Trafford, which would just be sensational. As you mentioned, it's the from an odds perspective, it's the most incredible feat in sports betting history. So, yeah, they're going to do it now, I think. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, certainly is. We'll get to that game in a little bit then, as DK says. We start with the televised tea time game on Saturday. This is Arsenal versus Norwich. 1-4 here for Arsenal, 5-1 the draw, and Norwich in the betting at 9-1. Of course, Norwich still desperate for the points. They are a place behind Sunderland now on goal difference in the relegation zone. Arsenal still need to tidy up fourth place, but it was a very, very flat 0-0 draw that Arsenal played out with Sunderland. And the mood of the Arsenal fans at the moment isn't particularly good, and Norwich might be buoyed by the performance of Arsenal last weekend, Derek, and they might feel that they're maybe more gettable now than they were the rest of the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, 1-4 Arsenal makes absolutely zero appeal, because you mentioned that game against Sunderland, correct? You know, they were very, very tame. And that followed a couple of weeks after that game against Palace as well. They finished 1-1, and, you know, that was when the natives really got restless, the Arsenal fans. You couldn't touch Arsenal at 1-4, even though they're playing against a side that are likely to go down. Are Norwich big enough, though? I've got a real problem with this fixture, because I haven't got a clue which way to turn. One thing I would say is that Norwich have got something to fight for, and Arsenal aren't meeting too many teams like that at the moment. What I would suspect, even though Arsenal will probably win, I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for them. And I might, given that you get 9-1 for Norwich, there must be some value to be had in the handicap market. Because, I mean, you know, the thing is, Arsenal still have plenty to fight for. But I'm going to go for Norwich on the handicaps here, because I just think that Arsenal, once they've got their noses in front, I don't think they've got the confidence at the moment to steamroll aside. So Norwich plus 2 goals, 21-20. That looks a great bet to me, that.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Norwich plus two at 21-20. You can take them plus a goal at 3-1. Are you in agreement, Dave? When a side of 9-1, even if you don't fancy them, there's always scope in that price to try and get them onside.
Yeah, I think this is a big test for Alex Neil because he's had 2 weeks between that bad defeat at Carrow Road against Sunderland to get his players motivated. If they need motivation at this stage of the season for this trip to the Emirates. And I think, Derek, you learned a valuable... I know you've been sports betting for many, many years. Before I was even born, Derek, you were sports betting. But I think you learned a valuable lesson with Arsenal last Sunday. Even at slight odds on away from home against Sunderland, they're just not producing for Arsene Wenger anymore.
No. I used to work with a lot of Arsenal fans at the Mirror. Well, I still work at the Mirror, but not in the offices anymore. And it was about 5 or 6 years ago, probably longer, I was saying, well, he's come to the end of the road, Wenger, here. I mean, what? He's a man in a time warp. This was about 6 or 7 years ago, I was saying this. They wouldn't have it. They were, you know, had such bitter arguments we had. But it's been proven right in the end. I mean, the guy should have gone 5 or 6 years ago.
I think Gary Neville's got it spot on as well in the fact that when Arsenal were really thriving under Wenger, they had Emmanuel Petit and Patrick Vieira in those holding roles in the centre of the midfield. Just two colossal players there. And now Wenger's going with lightweight players, and it doesn't work in this league. You need some steel in central midfield, and Arsenal haven't got that at all now. As far as this game is concerned, I do think that Alex Neil, in the last two matches, at home against Sunderland and away at Crystal Palace, after those two big wins against Newcastle and West Brom, they will have been feeling that they were almost safe. Pick up 3 points from either of those two games and got a good chance of Premier League survival. But Alex Neil, I think his naivety and his lack of experience at this level has just told in the last couple of fixtures. But he has had 14 days to prepare them for this match. Norwich's problem is that they're two top scorers this season, Nathan Redmond and Diomirce Mbakani, have just got 5 goals. Not enough goals in this Norwich team, really. I do think Arsenal will edge this game, but I like the bet that yourself and Derek have just mentioned, plus two for Norwich. I think they'll keep it very tight, and if Arsenal win, might just be by one goal. So I'll play Norwich plus two as well, at odds against 21-20. Really do like that price here. Just one of the last 14 league meetings between these clubs has ended in a Norwich City win, by the way. But they have drawn 6 against the Gunners in that spell. So they've not got a bad record against Arsenal. And you can't be trusting Arsenal at 1-4. So I'll play Norwich plus 2 as well.
OK, fair enough. Am I right in thinking then that... Do you both think they're Gunners, Norwich, this season?
Well, I do, actually. I think Sunderland will survive out of the three at the bottom.
Well, I think Newcastle will.
Do you?
Really?
Yeah, I just think Rafa's just got to the bottom of them now. I think I expect Newcastle to do... I know they've played a game more than the other two, but they look a team that's more likely to win fixes than Norwich and Sunderland, especially this week, as we'll come to shortly, at home to Crystal Palace.
OK, let's move on then to the televised game on Sunday lunchtime. This is a midday kickoff between Swansea and Liverpool. Swansea in the betting here at 19-10. It's 12-5 about the draw, and Liverpool are 11-8. The enhanced odds offers for this one, Alberto Palaci to score in a Swansea win is 6-1, and Christian Benteke to score in a Liverpool win is 4-1. We saw Liverpool got dealt a cruel blow on Thursday night. A late goal for Villarreal saw them come away from Spain with a 1-0 defeat. But one thing we can say, Derek, the strikers will be well rested for Liverpool, apart from Benteke getting 10 minutes, they didn't really have one on the pitch all night.
It was incredible. I actually thought Liverpool played okay against Villarreal, and you know, they had a lot of possession. They looked really nice football until they got to the penalty area, and then it was like, who do we find? There's nobody there.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, even as a fan, you could. I'm thinking, what's the manager doing? Get somebody on there. This game is there for the taking. And you know, all the faith that Kopites have in Jurgen Klopp, I suspect, although they'll never admit it, it might just have been dampened a little bit, because you know, it was painfully obvious what was going on. That said, you can't back him here. You know, no matter how well he played in Villarreal, you can't back him here at 11-8, because he got the second leg coming up on Thursday. It's all that matters to Liverpool now. This game doesn't matter in the slightest. We've seen that in recent Premier League fixtures. Klopp has rested a string of players. I think he made 7 changes for the Bournemouth game, 10 a week earlier, whatever it was against, I can't remember now. Swansea aren't playing particularly brilliantly at the moment. They've shipped 7 goals in their last 2 games against Leicester and Newcastle. But at home, their home record recently hasn't been too bad. I think they've had 3 1-0 wins on the bounce, and I can see that happening again. But what I would ask is, why is this on telly, this game? Why on earth? Who's going to be watching it?
Yeah, that's a fair point, isn't it? You said Swansea haven't been playing that well recently. I think that's an understatement. They've been dreadful in the last 2 games, I think, anyway. Away from home against Newcastle, thumped 3-0 and beaten 4-0 by Leicester. And they just didn't turn up when they went to the King Power last weekend. I know that's a difficult trip to Leicester, who are flying in the league, obviously, top by 7 points. But I haven't been impressed with Swansea at all. I know Liverpool are focused, Derek, on that Thursday home match against Villarreal, and that's all that matters to them at the Europa League. But they have played decent football when they've weakened down recently. We saw that against Bournemouth back in mid-April, where they went to Bournemouth with a weak side and won 2-1 and put in an impressive display. Beat Everton 4-0, switched off in the second half against Rafa Benitez in Newcastle, and Newcastle came back and drew that game 2-2. Will Daniel Sturridge play in this game? What's the latest on Daniel Sturridge, Derek?
Well, he's fit. He wasn't fancied the other night. I don't know. It's a good question. It depends on whether Klopp will start him on Thursday. I suspect not.
If he's not going to start him on Thursday, and assuming he doesn't start him on Thursday, if he plays here, I can't believe he's not starting in me, because he's in really good nick at the moment, Daniel Sturridge. He's got 4 goals in 4 Premier League appearances for Liverpool against Swansea, and he scored 6 in his last 7 in the Premier League as well. So he scored in his last 4. I don't understand why he doesn't fancy him if he's fit.
The reason he doesn't fancy him is we know what Klopp demands from a player. It's pretty much, 100% effort every minute. You're running everywhere. And that is not Daniel Sturridge, and it's not Christian Benteke-Iara. That's why those two have been sidelined. You might argue, it doesn't matter if he's scoring goals, but Klopp has a similar view I have on strikers. Yep, fine if you score goals, but somebody else could score goals and run a lot more. It's an age-old argument that will never go away. If Liverpool need a goal, he's the most likely to come up with it.
He is scoring goals, that's the thing. And you just mentioned there, if a striker's scoring goals, they're doing their job, despite maybe his work ethic not being...
No, I disagree, you see. I disagree. I don't think if a striker's scoring goals, he's doing his job. He's got to do a lot more. The strikers have got to do a lot more than just score goals. That's my view.
Do you think Daniel Sturridge is out in the summer then?
No. He's too good a player to go. I mean, he'll learn. He'll have to learn. I'm sure Klopp will give him another season, and Sturridge will have to learn that you can't just go lang for 90 minutes. You've got to do a bit more.
I'll take him here if he starts this game. I know we are recording this on Friday morning. So if he starts in this game, I think he'll score, because he's in fine form, and Swansea have switched off completely as far as I'm concerned. I think Liverpool will win, actually. 11-8 Liverpool to win the game. Sturridge 5-4 to score any time in this match, and Sturridge to score first is 4-1. I think they're good prices.
Can I just to highlight that point I've just made quickly, because I know if anybody listening will be, what's he on about? Strike scoring goals not doing enough. The example I always use was Ruud van Nistelrooy. When he played for Man United, loads of goals he scored. I don't know, more than 20 every season. What a striker! Guaranteed goals. What did United win when Van Nistelrooy played for them? Have a little look, and you'll be surprised at how little United won during the years Van Nistelrooy was at Old Trafford. The year before he arrived, they won the treble. The year after they got shut of him, they won the double. The years he was there. They hardly won anything. So there's my little case.
We can't go through a podcast without you getting stuck into a Manchester United player, Derek. Still, right. All these years have passed since Van Nistelrooy was there, and you've got to hammer a couple of nails into him.
Too right. Well, I mean, it looks like he's had a few nails hammered into him, and the lack of movement he showed.
Yeah, I'm going Liverpool. You're going Swansea here then, Derek?
Yeah, Swansea definitely for me.
Okay.
Okay, a split decision then on that game. And another chance now maybe for Derek to put the boot in some Manchester United players as we look ahead to the big one coming up on Sunday, the game that everyone will have their eye on. 2:05 kickoff on a Sunday at Old Trafford. Manchester United 11-10. The draw here is 23-10 and Leicester City are 13-5. Anthony Martial to score in a Manchester United win is 4-1 from threes. And Riyad Mahrez to score in a Leicester win is 7-1. From 11-2. As I said at the top of the podcast, Leicester just 3 points away from clinching the title. Can they do it this weekend, Derek, at Old Trafford?
Well, yes, they can. And yes, will I be backing them 13-5 too, right? I will. I don't understand the price, I really don't. Your odds compilers are obviously thinking, well, they'll just do a slowly catches the monkey. A point might be enough if Tottenham slip up. Well, would a point be enough? I think it would, wouldn't it? A point would be enough if Tottenham slip up on Monday night against Chelsea, which is possible. Why are they 13-5? The league leaders with a fantastic away record playing against a distinctly ordinary Man United team. I don't understand these prices. I really don't. And I've got to back them. I've got to back them at 13-5. What have they done wrong, Leicester? If this was Man United going for the title at Leicester, and Leicester were in fourth place still, or wherever Man United are, fifth place going, United would be something like about 10-11 to win this. And Leicester 13-5, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I think I'd be inclined to agree with that. And it's not as if, Dave, we're talking about earlier on in the season where the traders are still feeling Leicester out and thinking maybe they'll slip off. They're 3 points in the title and they're still massively overpriced.
They do. It does look that way, doesn't it? I actually fancied Manchester United to win this game.
Really?
But I looked at the odds and I just couldn't believe it, really.
Yeah.
Because they have... I know that FA Cup final is in a few weeks' time and that won't really affect this match, but there might be a few players, if there is a 50-50 challenge, they'll be thinking about that FA Cup final at Wembley and not getting injured in this game. But Manchester United are just too short here. Almost even money, Manchester United to win against a Leicester side who are thriving, even without Jamie Vardy, who has been given another game suspension. Vardy won't feature on Sunday afternoon. But 11-10 is just too short. I thought Manchester United were good in that FA Cup semi-final, particularly in the first half against Everton, where they dominated the game and never let Everton really settle. It will be tight, this match, though. We've seen Manchester United's home games are pretty tight. They've only conceded 2 goals in their last 5 at home in all competitions. Those 2 came against West Ham, that 1-1 draw in the FA Cup, and against Liverpool in the Europa League, where they drew that game 1 apiece. They've won 4 games in that spell, beating Watford 1-0, Everton 1-0, Villa 1-0, and then beating Crystal Palace 2-0 in their last home game in the Premier League. But Leicester City were pretty phenomenal against Swansea, albeit Swansea rolled over in that game. They didn't appear to miss Jamie Vardy too much in that match. Might be a different case here where he could stretch Chris Smalling and Daley Blind at the back, whereas Leonardo Ochoa hasn't got that same electric pace if he does start, or whether he goes with Jeffrey Schlupp or Damari Gray remains to be seen. But Leicester away from home in the Premier League recently beat Watford 1-0, Palace 1-0, Sunderland 2-0. Leicester are overpriced here at 13-5 undoubtedly, but I think we'll have a really tight match at Old Trafford on Sunday afternoon. So I'll be looking low in the goals here. Under 2.5, they've cottoned on to this, the traders. Under 2.5 is as short as 8-13. I like under 1.5 at 2-1. I could see this being 1-0 either way or a 0-0 draw. I wanted to back Manchester United, but they are much too short in the betting at 11-10. But I'm not convinced Leicester City will go there and win. Remember, Manchester United have won the last 6 at home in the Premier League, kept a clean sheet in the last 4. And I know Derek's keen on sticking the boot into Manchester United at every opportunity, but they've been playing much better football in the last 8 weeks, haven't they?
Well, I watched them against Everton, and yet they had a decent first half. But the second half, I thought Everton were all over them. I tell you what, you look at Man United's team now, the 10 outfield players. And would you pick any of them to get in the Leicester team?
Anthony Martial, I think. He's fantastic, Derek.
I think he's vastly overrated, but there you go.
I think he's going to be a superstar. But they have got they've arguably got the world's best goalkeeper, haven't they?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, Schmeichel ain't doing too bad for Leicester, but yeah, I give De Gea a go. But the outfield players, honestly, there's absolutely nothing. The money they've spent on them, there's nothing there that would make. There's not a Leicester player I would dislodge to get any of them into the side. Really, that's the honest truth.
I've been impressed with Martial and Marcus Rashford. I think has been superb. Since coming to the team as well.
What, would he dislodge Vardy, would he?
No, he wouldn't dislodge Vardy. Vardy's not playing in this game, though.
No, I know, yeah. I know that. Obviously, I'm not this 11, but I'm talking about Leicester's best 11.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not. Definitely not, as it stands.
OK, that's the Manchester United and Leicester game. Then we go to the final televised game on Sunday now, which comes up at 4:30 from St Mary's. This is Southampton versus Manchester City. Southampton in the betting here at 7-4. The draw is 23-10. Man City are 6-4. Enhanced odds offers for this one. Graziano Pella to score in a Southampton win is 5-1. And Raheem Sterling to score in a Manchester City win is 6-1. We saw City play out a bit of a chess match on Tuesday night against Real Madrid. That one finished 0-0. They'll have one eye on the reverse leg, of course. But I get the feeling, Derek, that some of City's attacking players will be desperate to sort of stretch their legs in this game, having been nullified by Real Madrid on Tuesday night.
Yeah, they were. Aguero didn't really get a kick, did he? But it was a terrible game, a shocking advertisement for the Champions League, I thought. Yeah, they will have. They'll have both eyes on the return leg. It gives them a great chance. I've always said 0-0 draw at home. It's a tremendous result for the home side. You nick a goal away from home, and you've basically got one foot in the next round. I don't think they're going to be fully at it here. And furthermore, the result of the game earlier, the Man United Leicester game, you know, it might impact on City's mindset, because if United were to lose, City could almost have a free pass in this game because they ain't going to get overhauled by United. That's for sure. It's a tough game to call this, as evidenced by the odds. Your odds compilers aren't sure either. I can't fancy City enough. They don't win enough games away from home to back them at 6-4. I'm not sure of Southampton's commitment, even though I'm told there's still an outside chance of them finishing in the Europa League. I can't see how that's going to happen. Looks like a draw to me.
And Dave?
Yeah, you mentioned maybe not sure about Southampton's commitment, but they've been good recently, haven't they? You look through their recent form. They've not switched off, really, at the end of the season. They have got that outside slim chance of a Europa League spot. You look at their performances, take the last seven, for instance, and the only team that's beaten them in the Premier League is Leicester City. And they went to Leicester City and equipped themselves reasonably well, and they were quite unlucky to lose that game 1-0 in the end. They were good last week at a woeful Villa, winning 4-2. We talked about keepers as well. Joe Hart kept them in that tie, didn't he, really, against Real Madrid. Made a couple of outstanding saves. The first one with his foot was particularly good. He's could make his 300th Premier League appearance in this match. He would be the sixth English goalkeeper to reach that landmark in the Premier League. It's difficult to know if Manchester City will rest players in this game. And I think Derek makes a really valid point. If Manchester United slip up against Leicester City, it gives Manuel Pellegrini carte blanche to change his side here. And David Silva, remember, limped off in that game on Tuesday night against Real Madrid. Kevin De Bruyne might not be risked for this fixture. He looked threatening, but they didn't get the ball to him enough against Real Madrid. Sergio Aguero scored in each of his last five Premier League appearances, so if you are looking for goal scorers, Aguero has played a lot of football recently, though, and he's 21-20 to score any time, which looks like a decent price to me if he does get the nod in this game. But I think Southampton will win. I think Manchester City, so intent on qualifying for the Champions League final on Wednesday, they'll be fully focused on that fixture against Real. I reckon Southampton have an ideal opportunity to nick this one. I quite like the price. Southampton to win 7-4. I even think they maybe should be slight favourites to beat Manchester City on Sunday afternoon. A couple of goal scorers to have a look at as well. Shane Long has had his best ever goal scoring season in the Premier League. He's in good form. He's got 9, and he's had a hand in 8 goals in his last 8 Premier League appearances, scoring 4 and assisting 4. And Sadio Mane, if he does start, he's been kind of out of favour with Ronald Koeman for a lot of the second half of the season. If he starts in this game, he's 5-2 to score any time, which is a big price. He's got 4 in his last 5 in the Premier League for Southampton. That's after a run of 19 without scoring. So a couple of goal scorers to look at. Shane Long 19-10, Sadio Mane 5-2, but against a Manchester City side intent on qualification for the Champions League final. I think Southampton win this at 7-4.
Okay, Southampton for DK then, 7-4 for a Southampton win in that one. We go to the Monday night game then, which is Chelsea versus Tottenham, the third Monday night game in succession for Spurs. Chelsea in the betting at 9-5, 23-10 the draw, and Spurs are 6-4. The enhanced odds here are Eden Hazard to score in a Chelsea win at 7-1 and Harry Kane to score in a Tottenham win at 3-1. It's very difficult to weigh up this game because so much of it hinges on the outcome of the Manchester United-Leicester game on Sunday. Of course, if Leicester win that and secure the title, Spurs might go into this a little bit flatter than usual. But if Leicester slip up, then there's a real chance again for Spurs to try and maybe get this title push back on track, Derek.
Well, yeah, you'd be ludicrous to have a bet before knowing the result of the Leicester game, because if Leicester win the title on Sunday, Tottenham will be flatter than Louis van Gaal's face. They won't try a leg in this game. And you know, Chelsea's commitment, you know, you would think, well, Chelsea are probably down tools, but a couple of their players, Cesc Fabregas and Eden Hazard, were saying earlier in the week they didn't want Spurs to win the league.
Yeah.
The way they've shaped this season, they didn't want Chelsea to win it either. You know, what can you say about this game without knowing that result? I'm paid to do that now, though. I would actually go for Chelsea here at 9-5 because Chelsea want to stop Tottenham winning the league, firstly. Also, Tottenham, the deflation factor, should Leicester have won it. And thirdly, they've lost Dele Alli as well, haven't they? He's been like their major man for much of the season. I just think, and the way Tottenham played against West Brom on Monday, you just think, well, you know, some teams fall off a cliff towards the end of the season when they go and get tough, and we all expected it of Tottenham. They were given no hint of it, but on Monday they did. All the clues were there. And I just think Chelsea might well be overpriced given everything that might happen in the run-up to this game. I think at this juncture, Chelsea are too big.
OK, Chelsea in the betting at 9-5. DK, how do you weigh this one up? Obviously, as we said there, a lot will depend on what happens on Sunday afternoon. But coming into it now, Friday morning, what are your initial thoughts?
Just to pick up on Derek's analysis there, the biggest revelation was that you get paid for this, McGovern.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that, should I? You're going to get paid for the rubbish he spouts.
But everything Derek says is right, obviously. Yeah. If Leicester do secure the Premier League title, Tottenham will come into this game with absolutely nothing to play for. And it's weird the way the Chelsea players have come out and said they don't want Spurs to win the title, even those with no real connection to the area.
Yeah, I agree.
I find it strange. But Chelsea have not lost a league home game against Tottenham since February 1990. They've won 17 and drawn 8 of their 25 meetings at Stamford Bridge since. So they've got that record to protect, Chelsea. And I do think Chelsea will win this game if Leicester have sewn up the Premier League title, and you won't get 9-5 if that is the case. Harry Kane loves scoring goals, though, and I think he will get on the score sheet here no matter what. He's 21-20 to score any time. He's just a couple of goals away from scoring 50 in the Premier League, and he'll be the 8th quickest player to score 50 goals in the competition if he does get a couple. He's got 13 goals in his last 14 Premier League appearances for Spurs, so I think he could score. I actually think that maybe I'd be looking at an anytime lose cast here, or an anytime win cast, as they say. Harry Kane to score and Chelsea to win the game. I think there might be goals in this game, but very difficult to determine the outcome when we're recording this prior to Leicester City's trip to Old Trafford on Sunday. So it's tough. But that draw against West Brom, I think, effectively killed Tottenham's chance of winning the Premier League. Very disappointing, considering they went 1-0 up in that game, to allow West Brom to dominate in the second half in the manner they did was frustrating, because Spurs have been so strong in the second half of the season. I thought they had the spirit, the determination, the mentality, and Pochettino had instilled that belief in his players that they wouldn't allow something like that to happen, but they did, and that point has probably killed off their title credentials.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. The market, DK, was mentioned there, that Chelsea win and Harry Kane to score, the reverse win cast is 17-2. Should you fancy that?
I think that's okay, yeah. I like that. 8.5-1 on that. I think that's a good bet.
Okay, we'll move on to the Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs now then. We start with a game at Goodison. This is Everton versus Bournemouth. Everton in the betting here at 5-6. The draw is 11-4 and Bournemouth are 3-1. Enhanced odds offers here. Romelu Lukaku to score in an Everton win is 5-2 and Joshua King to score in a Bournemouth win is 10-1. Bournemouth could actually move above Everton with a win here. The pressure is mounting on Roberto Martinez, but have we seen anything this season from Everton, Derek, to suggest that they should be 5-6? That they just seem so inconsistent for me. For them to be odds on in almost any game just looks a little bit suspect.
Well, particularly at home, where they've already had the worst Goodison worst season for home results, Everton. So it takes a lot to back them odds on here. But I think back to the fixture at Bournemouth in February. It was an FA Cup game. And Everton were something like just over even. I think they were 11-10, and I had them down as absolute banker material. And a penalty against him that was saved, I think, or missed, and he went on to win 2-0. And I thought, well, you know, easiest money I've ever pocketed that. And they're not much shorter than that now, are they? 5-6 at home against the Bournemouth side that I've given up for the season. I'm going to go for them. I'm going to go for Everton. I just think you look at Bournemouth's recent results. You know, beating at home to a shadow Liverpool team, murdered at home by Chelsea. That followed a 4-0 defeat at Man City, a home to Man City, 3-0 defeat at Tottenham. The only glimmer of light there was was beating Aston Villa 2-1. Big deal. I'm going to go for Everton here. I think they owe their fans something. You know, I mean, it's easy to say that, I know, but because they probably owe their fans something all season long. But they've got to make up for the last weekend's FA Cup semi-final heartbreak. And they played well in that game. Second half, I thought they were sensational. Could easily have nicked it. So I'm going to give them one last final go. I mean, if Bournemouth had something to play for, I'd be looking at the 3-1, obviously. But I just think that, yeah, of all teams, them and Palace, I think I've long given up in the league.
OK, Everton at 5-6. Then Martinez will be desperate for a good finish of the season, DK. But they're winless in their last seven games in all competition, Everton.
Yeah, they are. Last seven Premier League games, they've really struggled, haven't they? Drawn three and lost four. If you believe, like Derek does, that Everton are the best side in the Premier League, 5-6 could be appealing. But it's not for me. I can't back Everton. As you mentioned, I don't think I could back Everton at odds on against anyone in the Premier League at the moment.
Possibly Villa.
Barring Aston Villa. In the competition, and they're just devoid of confidence. I know they played better in the second half against Manchester United in the FA Cup, but they still went out, and they might be suffering a hangover here. There's rumours, Derek, you've probably seen these, rumours that Everton have identified Mark Hughes as a replacement for Roberto Martinez at the end of the season. I don't know how they've spotted him. I mean, identified Mark Hughes. He's had a pretty decent season as Stoke manager. I know Stoke have switched off in the last few weeks, but if they manage to get Mark Hughes in, I do think it will be big for the club, because he does focus on making his teams defensively solid, and that's what Everton need.
Yeah.
And David, you mentioned you think back to the Everton win away from home against Bournemouth in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I actually remember the Premier League meeting between the two sides at Dean Court back in late November. That incredible 3-3 result where Everton went ahead in the 90th minute and then conceded in the 93rd minute. Junior Stanislas got the equaliser on that occasion. And I think we'll see a similarly open game here. I like high on the goals. I think there'll be plenty of goals in this fixture. If you're looking at over 2.5, it's short at 6-10. I think we get over 3.5 at 13-8. I think it will be an absolute cracker from a neutral standpoint. We'll see a good game at Goodison on Saturday afternoon. But Bournemouth had 10 shots on target against Everton back in November. That's the most they've had ever in a single Premier League match.
Right.
I like Bournemouth to win this game. I know that they have struggled a little bit recently, but you look at the teams they've played against. That one good result was against Villa, so you can sort of disregard that one. But the games they've lost, Tottenham, Manchester City, Liverpool and Chelsea, four of the top sides in the Premier League. I think this is actually a step down in class to play Everton. So I'll go with Bournemouth to win this game. I like them at a big price at 3-1. They've got a good record away from home recently as well. They've lost just one of their last seven Premier League away games, winning three and drawing three. But goals in the game. Over 3.5, my best bet, 13-8. Take a punt with Bournemouth to win it at 3-1 as well.
Okay, overs on the goals then, the main selection for DK in that one. We move to Newcastle versus Crystal Palace now. Newcastle are even money here. The draw is 5-2 and Palace are 13-5. Enhanced odds for this one, Papi Cisse to score in a Newcastle win is 3-1. And Connor Wickham to score in a Crystal Palace win is 7-1. We talked earlier about Eden Hazard and Cesc Fabregas coming out and saying that they didn't want Spurs to win the title. Interestingly, Alan Pardew this week, Derek, has come out and said that he's desperate for Newcastle to avoid relegation. Probably a little bit bizarre, given that he's taking his Crystal Palace side to St James's this weekend.
Yeah, it's enraged the old hippo head Sam Allardyce, doesn't it? He's hopping mad. He's trying to play mind games. You know, if only he had a mind. He was saying, you know, he's saying that Palace players have been on the pop, and you know, it's not right, etc., etc. The kind of thing Ferg used to say, you know, when they were in that battle with Newcastle all those years ago. Basically, it boils down to this: Palace have given up for the season. They're in the FA Cup final. They probably have been on the pop all week, and Newcastle are even money under Rafa Benitez to win at home. And it's the banker bet, not of this weekend. Probably of the season, young man.
I'll take your word for it.
Evens Newcastle. I'm on it, and I'll be on it all weekend.
Okay, even money for Newcastle. Are you as dogmatic, DK?
I think he's wrong. I think McGovern's wrong here. I just think even money's too short on Newcastle. I agree. Of the three outcomes, they are the most likely winner. But I can't be having Newcastle at even money to win a Premier League game this season. They've got a few injury concerns. They'll be without Daryl Yanmat and Fabrizio Colaccini for the last three games, but maybe not major concern because they have performed without them. Johan Gufran and Stephen Taylor, fortunately for Newcastle, are doubts as well. So those two won't be playing, and Stephen Taylor in particular has been dismal all season. Pardew's got a slight concern over Wilfred Zaha, but Palace have no other injury worries, really. And I know that they are in an FA Cup final, and maybe the players will be thinking about that, but it is 3 weeks away, that FA Cup final. And I think it's typical of Alan Pardew to say, oh, I want Newcastle to stay in the Premier League here, whereas he knows he's going to go to St James's Park on Saturday afternoon, and he's going to face a hostile reception there because things didn't end well with him and Newcastle. I think he'd love to beat Newcastle secretly.
Really?
I reckon he'd absolutely relish the chance to turn them over on Saturday afternoon. I think we saw Derek with Rafa Benitez at last week at Anfield. No hostility there, and Liverpool eased off to a certain extent in the second half. I think we'll see a lot of hostility here, and that will spur the Palace players on to performing. And even though Crystal Palace haven't won a Premier League away trip since December the 19th, they have picked up only 5 points in 9 road games subsequently. I think we've seen a little bit of the old Palace in them, the old spark, the last few games. I think Palace could win this. I quite like Palace to win this at 13-5, and I disagree with Derek. I think Newcastle are just a little bit too short at even money.
Okay, it's a big enough price then to be getting involved. Palace at 13-5 for DK. Derek Keane on Newcastle at even money. Let's go to Watford versus Aston Villa now. Watford in the betting at 4-6. The draw is 11-4, and Villa priced up at 4-1. Troy Deeney to score in a Watford win is 2-1 from 8-5, and Jordan Ayew to score in an Aston Villa win is 10-1 from 7-1. Sometimes we see teams get relegated and then play with the pressure off, and they often go down swinging, really. They pull out some draws and some victories, but you just get the sense, Derek, that's not going to happen with this Aston Villa side. They just seem to lurch from one crisis to the next. There doesn't seem to be any spirit there, and it looks very difficult for me to make any sort of case for them, even against the Watford side, whose season's been done for a while.
Yeah, and they're only 4-1, Villa. I mean, you know, you couldn't possibly back them. You couldn't. And it's not like, as you say, some teams who have been relegated, they do play with the shackles off, and they'll suddenly get a result from nowhere, and you think, why weren't they doing that earlier in the season? Well, they didn't, because they were under pressure. But it's quite the opposite with Villa. The club is in disarray. The players don't care. They haven't cared for a long time. Board members are leaving in droves. It's a shambles, an absolute shambles, and they can't win this game. 4-1 is a terrible price for them, even against the Watford side that, you know, can't score and seems to have gone at every level. Watford at 4-6 makes no appeal. But what I would say is that, OK, I don't expect Villa to win this game, But they're playing against a team that don't score many goals. You know, Ighalo and Deeney, the goals have just dried up for them. So if Watford are going to win, and it's a long time since they won a game, it's going to be by a narrow margin. So what I'm saying is Villa plus a goal at more than odds against, I think, is worth a bet here. Because I just think, when I see Watford at 4-6, given their recent form, I think there's got to be value in opposing them. But then you see it's Villa who are opposing them. You can't go for them. But with a goal start, maybe, especially as there was a little bit of a glimmer in Villa's most, that result against Man United, the 1-0 defeat at Man United. They showed a little bit there, didn't they? So I'm going to give them one last go. But again, it's probably, if all the fixes in the Premier League this weekend, this is the game I'd leave alone.
Okay, Villa plus a goal then in the betting at 23-20. Dave, any chance whatsoever for Villa?
Well, Derek's made some unbelievable shouts on the podcast this season, particularly in the first half of the season. I hope you're not doing all your cash on Villa and Everton, Derek.
I think I fancy Everton, but this Villa one, yeah. Well, Watford aren't going to steamroll at a team, are
no,
they?
No, they're not. They're two bad teams in action here, aren't they, in terms of second half of the season performance. The problem with those Villa prices you just mentioned, Derek, is they're all derived from that 4-1, aren't they?
Yeah.
And that 4-1, they should be bigger than that. They just should be bigger than that, Aston Villa, to win a Premier League match. They've lost 10 successive league matches now, Aston Villa. That's the longest sequence of league defeats since 1963 for them. They've lost 25 Premier League games this season, which is incredible. The record, by the way, is 29, so they can't... unfortunately for them, I think Villa would like to actually, if possible, trump the likes of Derby, Sunderland and Ipswich. Sunderland back in 2005, Derby in 2007 and Ipswich back in 1994. They lost 29. So Aston Villa, that's one target that they won't be able to scale this season. Odion Ighalo's waited so long for a goal in the Premier League. Scored in that fixture against... Arsenal in the Cup, but he's gone such a long time. I don't think there's going to be a better opportunity ever for him to get on the score sheet here, because he's going up against Julian Lescott and Micah Richards, who have just been appalling, I think, defensively for Aston Villa. So I'll chance Odion Ighalo, who hasn't been in great form, for him to get on the score sheet here. And I think that if you believe that Watford's poor run was down to the Cup distraction, now that's out of the way, they might perform in these last three games. I think Watford will win, but I'm not attracted by the price at 4-6. Similar thoughts to Derek, really. I don't think that Aston Villa are big enough at 4-1. So I'll play Odion Ighalo to get a goal in this game.
Okay. Ighalo to score any time is 23-20. 7-2 first or last. That's the Watford-Villa game taken care of. We move on now to Stoke versus Sunderland. 13-8 here for Stoke. The draw is 9-4 and Sunderland are in the betting at 17-10. Boyan to score in a Stoke win is 5-1 from 19-5, and Jermaine Defoe to score in a Sunderland win is 4-1 from 3-1. Sunderland side here, who come into this with just one defeat in their last five, and they take on a Stoke team who are marooned in mid-table and have actually managed to ship 12 goals in their last three Premier League games, which you certainly wouldn't have thought possible earlier on in the season, Derek. Do they look as much on their holidays as some of the other clubs that we've mentioned?
They do, and it's a surprise, really, because I didn't think under Mark Hughes any team would be allowed to do that. I can easily pass them over at 13-8, but I don't think 17-10 Sunderland's given any great value away either. I mean, they're not losing many at the moment, Sunderland, but they're not winning many either. The victory at Norwich was their only one in their last six, and it's not as if they've been playing well-beating teams in that spell. You know, Newcastle, West Brom and Norwich, they played against a Southampton match too. A real trappy fixture. Sunderland, you know, have got it all to play for. We all know that. And they're playing a Stoke side who seem to have given up. So really, your money should be on Sunderland. But I don't think 17-10. This is a side in the bottom three, remember. 17-10 away from home. It's not giving anything away. I'm going to go for a draw, 9-4.
Okay, 9-4 the draw for Derek then. DK, what do you make of this one?
I thought, Derek, this was one of the toughest fixtures because instinctively you fancy Sunderland to go to Stoke, who have been appalling recently, and win, but they've been hammered in the betting. You're thinking maybe get 2-1 on Sunderland away at Stoke
minimum.
At this point in the season, minimum and a 13-8 to win this game. And that's short. Stoke, they've been hit really hard by the loss of Jack Butland. You look at the way they performed with him at the helm, and subsequently Jacob Haugaard and Shea Given have been they've had the role between them, and with Shea Given now injured, Haugard has taken command. But the four games since Jack Butland's injury, they've conceded 14 goals. I think the defence is unsettled without Butland behind them, so they've suffered in that respect. I'll play a goal scorer here and just stick with Jermaine Defoe to get on the score sheet. Him and Fabio Barini are in really good form currently, and Defoe's enjoyed his best goal scoring season in the Premier League. We've had some success on the podcast backing Defoe recently, and he's got 13 goals, and this is actually his highest tally of away goals this season. He's got 10 away from home in the Premier League, so performing much better on the road than he is at the Stadium of Light. So Defoe to score in this game would be my bet. Sunderland are just a little bit too short for me at 13-8, even though I think they might win.
Okay, 6-4 anytime Jermaine Defoe, and he's 9-2 first or last. The final game of this Premier League weekend then is West Brom versus West Ham. West Brom here in the betting at 13-5. It's 9-4 for the draw, and West Ham are 11-10. Solomon Rondon to score in a West Brom win is 6-1. Dimitri Payet to score in a West Ham win is priced up at 4-1. Derek, what do you make of this final game? We obviously saw West Brom sort of put the fire out on Tottenham's title charge on Monday evening, and West Ham just seem to have been drawing a lot of games recently.
Yeah, well, you're duty bound when you're helming this podcast and to describe this fixture as the big West derby. So you know, edit that one in. This is another fixture that, Jesus Christ, there's some hard ones this weekend, isn't there? West Brom, I'm proud to say I've called West Brom wrong every single week of the season.
I think everyone has, though. Yeah. There's no continuity with West Brom's performances.
They drive you mad. The fixture at West Ham finished 1-1 earlier in the season. Good result for West Brom, that. This one last season finished in a 2-1 win for West Ham. Now, you'd have to say West Ham looked a better, but 11-10, it's not great, is it? Yeah, I ain't got a clue about this one, to be honest. I haven't. I'll go for West Ham at 11-10, but I'm closing my eyes and just put a pin in the paper. There's not enough in it for West Brom for me to be backed at these kind of odds. And West Ham, I suppose, are still in with it. You know, they still want to finish the season on a high. They're not that far behind Man United. Are they? 3 points behind Man United. You know, they could still... But well, they're not going to finish in the top four, but... I don't know.
Derek, you can't steal...
You playing your pass card, Derek.
Yeah.
You can't got a clue.
You can't steal my usual MO of just picking up a pin and sticking it in the paper, Derek. That's my thing. You can't steal that. I think this will be a draw. Actually think the draw's a good bet here. I reckon it's an absolute stick-on. Seven of the last ten, by the way, seven of the last ten Premier League meetings between West Brom and West Ham have ended in a draw, and it just looks like the likeliest outcome to me. West Ham have had 10 days between games after their win at Watford to prepare for this fixture, and I'm sure Slaven Bilic will keep his troops going. He's one of the managers that you'd expect, even if they have nothing to play for, he'll be able to spark some life into his players. But I'm not sure it's a good thing having that 10-day gap, because they were on a bit of a roll having beaten Watford recently. West Brom are just impossible to predict, because you think they're going to put up one of their usual gritty displays against Arsenal. They roll over, get beat 2-0. Then you reckon on Monday night, Spurs will go down. Spurs at home, they'll trounce them. Yep. And they put up in a real gritty performance and play incredibly well in the second half. I think that Pulis sees himself as a man that can spoil the dreams of others. That's the that's the way he sees himself. And that game against Spurs, he clearly enjoyed getting the point there.
That reminds me of someone else I know that does, Dave. A certain someone who watches a horse race, and even if he's backed a horse, if he knows someone else has backed another horse, he would rather that horse loses.
Yeah, the death riders. Is Dave? Are you one of them, Dave?
Mr. Kalner, yeah.
I used to work with loads of those people.
That's slanderous, Sam. I've been known to do that, Derek. I've been known to do that.
I actually admire you for that.
If you're looking at goal scorers in this fixture, maybe have a look at Saido Berahino to get on the score sheet. 14 of his 18 Premier League goals that have been scored since the start of last season have come at the Hawthorns, so he could get on the score sheet. But this is nailed on all day long. Draw 8-11 it will be after this fixture. I'm going with the draw. I think it's a good price as well, Sam.
Okay, DK, fairly confident then, a draw in the West Derby, West Brom versus West Ham, the final game that we've come to. Naps then this week, gentlemen. It looked a pretty difficult week for me. Derek, where's the nap going this week?
Newcastle. In fact, the profits I've made of this season, which is vast, I'm sure, it's all going on Newcastle.
Oh, Derek.
Yes.
Even money.
Yes.
Okay.
Confidence.
Okay.
DK?
I've got no clue. Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna go against Everton. It served me well throughout the course of the season. I'm gonna take. Do I go over 3.5 or the? Or Bournemouth? I'll go over 3.5 in that game. I expect a similar fixture to the one at Dean Court early on in the season. So over 3.5 is 13-8. It's very tempted to go with Bournemouth in that meeting at 3-1, but I'll take over 3.5 goals in that game.
Okay, over 3.5. Goals in the game for DK, then that's Everton versus Bournemouth. I was struggling again. I agree with you guys. I'm not totally enamoured with the price, but I'll just about play Sunderland at 17-10. As I say, Stoke have shipped 12 goals in their last three games. I think the focus will be on defence all week for Mark Hughes's men, but I can see Sunderland getting a slender 1-0 win here. Their only defeat in the last six games has come to Leicester, which is entirely forgivable, and I think Stoke have packed up for the season. So Sunderland at 17-10 go in there for me, along with Newcastle at even money and over 3.5 goals in the Bournemouth and Everton game. That pays 13-1, but I get the feeling here, chaps, that this isn't the most confident selection that any of us have put up all season.
It's not, but sometimes that's the way things work and we can land a treble like this. But Derek's been in fine form on the Naps table throughout the course of the season. I don't even know how I'm going to work it now, Derek, because we've been ever present on this podcast, whereas the others just flit in and flit out. And obviously Phelps gave up halfway through the season after he'd been tailed off in the Naps table. So I'll have to sort that out at some point.
Yeah. Well, just first and second, and Sam, you're out of it.
I don't want to represent Lee Phelps anyway in that nap cell. So, thank you very much, Sam, to both Derek McGovern and Dave Kelmer. Best of luck if you are having a bet on the Premier League this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.